Letter to My Prince by Paul Corrigan, read by Hannah Nobira. June 1990. Your Highness. What time am I writing this at? 1 o'clock. That's how long it's taken to stop shaking enough for me to even be able to write this, never mind getting to bed. That, and I have classes in the morning. I know I'll be like the walking dead in class tomorrow if I don't get to sleep, like, right now. But the fact is, if I don't write this to you, it'll replay in my head all night. And I won't sleep at all, and I'll be even worse in the morning. Shoot, where do I begin? Anshi. She's in bed right now, sleeping like a baby, like nothing happened at all. I envy her. Yeah, I know. It usually begins with Anshi. You must be getting really bored with me writing as much about what she does as about what I do, Your Highness. I'd probably wish you'd talk about something else, too. I guess I must sound like a girl in love or something, like Wakaba gushing about her darling Utena. Don't laugh. It gets old after a while, at least if you're me. I almost wish she would get hitched with Sionji, just so she'd cut that stuff out. But you're not me. You're a prince, so I guess being adored by girls is something you just had to learn to live with, right? Did I say a girl in love? Did I really? No, wait. I'm getting ahead of myself. Where was I? Right, Anshi. Never a dull moment with her around. How she'll be happy as a clam watching Miki's metronome go back and forth for hours on end. Or the home shopping network. Talk about easily amused. Her shaved ice dinners, that darn curry, the pencil box full of snails, the mongoose, the inflatable octopus, and so on and so on and so on. You thought you'd heard it all? Well, I thought I'd seen it all. She acts like a child. Or like she comes from Mars. Not of this world doesn't begin to describe her. From Mars. That reminds me, now I know where to begin. I'd actually been wondering for a while about her folks, where she comes from. Near the end of lunch today, just before lit class. Don't know why, but I figured I'd ask. So I go and ask her, just to make conversation. Say, Anshi, just out of curiosity, your folks from around here? Because she always looked kind of exotic. I've told you that, right? Himemiya's a Japanese name, but maybe her mother was foreign? Okay, okay. Not like Anshi'll ever give you a straight answer. But I had to try. She just kind of smiled nervously and didn't say anything. Which I expected. But just how nervous she was, I didn't. She looked like, crap, I've been found out, or some darn thing. I was going to ask if I'd said something wrong, but then there was a message over the intercom asking, will Anshi Himemiya please come to the principal's office? Anshi got right up. Guess she was glad to be off the hook. I heard people muttering. Why is Anshi going to the office? Not like she gets in trouble. She's really shy and quiet. Keeps to herself, mostly. Yeah, like every axe murderer you ever read about. Giggles. Kind of ticked me off, but Anshi mustn't have heard, or just didn't care. Not like she doesn't get it all the time. I had to ask what she thought the principal wanted. I don't know, Miss Utena, she answered. But whatever it is, I suppose it must be important. And she picks up Chuchu. He generally sleeps in her desk during the day, and just leaves without a word. Me, I kind of watched her leave, and must have spaced out, I guess, because next thing I knew, Wakaba was shaking me and asking if I thought she had failed the mythology test we'd had to take last week. We got it back today. So I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Say, do you know if Anshi's mom is foreign, Wakaba? And she goes, Anshi's mom is foreign? And she makes a big show of looking thoughtful. Maybe she was being silly because my question was weird or something. Guess she never thought about it. Finally, she says, I don't know, maybe she's from Africa or something. Africa? Yeah. Isn't she, like, black? Black? She's not black. Well, she's got the right complexion. It's not that dark, I think. I mean, she didn't look like the black people I'd seen on TV. Now that I think about it, She doesn't look much like she comes from anywhere. So Wakaba gets up and says, maybe the Three Stooges know. She meant Suzuki, Yamada, and Tanaka. They were in their little corner of the classroom, talking about either Gundam or Nanami Kiryu. Not like I paid attention to what they were talking about, but that's all they ever seemed to talk about. Creepy as heck. That, and they could be triplets. So she goes to the Three Stooges and asks, say, you guys, do you know where Anshi's folks are from? They gave her a kind of weird look. Guess they didn't know either. They had lots of ideas about where she might be from, mind you. Maybe she's Indian or something, said Tanaka. Don't Indian girls have those dots in the middle of their heads? I think those are stuck on, guys, I said. I was beginning to be sorry I had asked. Hey, that's it. Maybe she's the reincarnation of the Buddha. Oh, yeah, right, Wakaba said. Don't be a dumbass, said Suzuki all of a sudden, and boy did he look intense. Anshi's not an Indian name. Sure sounds like it, Tanaka said. Yeah, said Yamada, who sounded a little puzzled. What sort of a name is Anshi anyway? Maybe she's like an Arab or something? It's not Anshi, it's Ante. It's French, Suzuki said, standing up and folding his arms, really dramatically. He was really getting into this, you could tell. But ultimately, it comes from the Greek Antea. So you're not far off the mark, Yamada. She may be from the Levant, but from Greece, not Arabia or Palestine. In other words... Dramatic pause. You could almost hear a drum roll in the background. It was that corny. She is, in fact, Antea, goddess of roses, come to visit us from Mount Olympus. Amazing how funny the guys seemed to think it was. Even Wakaba giggled. Maybe it was the delivery or something. Me, I was just like, hey, you guys, can we stop? They didn't, of course. Too late for that. They were on a roll now, like sharks in a feeding frenzy. Jerks. Guess who got 100 on the test, you literary dog, you, said Yamada. Suzuki made a show of being embarrassed, saying, aw, shucks, hand behind his head and stuff. I don't know. I preferred her as the Buddha, said Tanaka. I have a compromise, men, said Yamada. I say she's Kaguya-hime, the princess of the gods of the moon. More laughter. Then Eiko Ikuhara started. Damn her. Wait, I've got it! I've thought up the subject of my new play, Ootori Monogatari, the tale of the rose cutter, the tragic tale of the moon child found in a rose bush and who was courted by all the fair princes of the land. Will you cut it out already? I said. A bit too loudly, I guess. It didn't work. Oh, don't be like that, Utena, she says. You can be the emperor. Just so you know, I am not going to be the prince who had a bird poop in his hand. Biko Saito said that. She was laughing, too. That did it. I don't know why, but right there I just lost it and yelled at her to shut up and slapped her. Hard. So hard she almost fell out of her chair. And she looks at me like she's about to cry. Wakaba looked a little scared, though I didn't pay it any mind then. Everyone else just stared. Frozen like they were statues. I guess they were scared, too. What was that for? She said finally. We were just teasing, you know. Don't you talk about Anshi like that, I said, just like that. I was really pissed by now, and I must have looked it, because Wakaba seemed to be shrinking in her chair. Miss Tenjo, I've tried to make you correct your disruptive behavior in the past and failed, so this time I'm asking you nicely. Will you please keep your outbursts for outside class periods? I was a bit confused for a moment there. Wakaba nervously pointed to the lit teacher. That was her, who'd just come in. Turned out everyone gotten so carried away, nobody'd even noticed the bell ring. Don't know what that means. Maybe it meant that it really wasn't just me that wondered a lot about Anshi. Or maybe they were just having too much fun. Either way, in the end, I never got a straight answer. Now that that's out of the way, playtime's over. Stand up. Bow. Sit. I have your tests, and as usual, they're a disgrace. Could have been worse. At least she didn't see me hit Biko, so that was good. Anchi came back just in time to be marked present. We got the tests back. I could tell by the way Wakaba pouted that she'd failed, even before she told me. I got a 90. Yes! Don't know what Anchi got. She's not that good at school, but tests don't seem to faze her at all. She'll just take the paper and put it in her bag without even looking at the grade sometimes. So I guess even she doesn't know, if she even cares. You'd think with Miki helping her so much, she would care. I mean, I told you she seems to like him. Making people you're supposed to like work for no reason isn't cool, right? So at the end of the class, the teacher leaves, and the moment she's out the door, Wakaba jumps on me and starts to wail, and she's like, "Wah, I flunked! I'll never pass this class! My life is over!" And I'm like, hey, you don't have to cry about it, you know? And she's blubbering and stuff and says, "I'm sorry, Utena. I just need a shoulder to cry on right now." Then she looks up and looks all happy. "I know. You want to come over to my dorm for dinner? Ha ha ha." Just like that. And I'm like, "Well, not like I didn't want to, just I was a bit overwhelmed." I'm like that a lot around Wakaba. And then she says, "Come on. You must be pretty sick of the Moon Princess's shaved ice by now, right? You must be starving." "Wakaba, that was really rude, calling her that right in front of her," I said, because Anchi sits right beside me. Wakaba's a few rows in front. "You think she doesn't have feelings?" Not to mention it isn't true. Anchi can't cook much in the way of dinner food, but her breakfasts rule. She ought to be running a cafe or something. "It was?" Wakaba said, blinking and looking all confused, like she didn't know what she'd said. I couldn't believe she was even still thinking about that. "Oh, I'm sorry, Anchi. I didn't mean..." "Miss Utena," Anchi said, "if you don't mind, I have to be somewhere this evening myself. Is it all right?" And I'm like, I guess it is. Well, Wakaba, guess I'm coming over after all. No point staying home. Of course, Wakaba jumped on me again. "Hooray!" "Yes, Your Highness. This has a point. It meant more later on. First, though, I need a cup of tea." Well, what do you know? Anchi left some in the pot. She thinks of everything. You know, maybe that means she thought I'd be shaken up tonight. But I'm getting ahead of myself. 2 o'clock already. Crap. Where was I? Right, Wakaba. So after school lets out, I go over to Wakaba's. Real food, too, not cafeteria food. Wakaba's dorm is fairly new, and not only do they have air conditioning, lucky them, it has been hot this summer. But they also have a small kitchen, so people who have allergies or foreign students who aren't used to the food. Yeah, we've got a couple, mostly from Europe, a few Americans coming to study Japanese, can cook their own. Nobody likes the dorm food much, though, so everybody ends up using it. Not that it matters, but it turned out Wakaba made some sushi. Really nice, too. She put her heart and soul into it. Me, I sat and did some of my homework while she did that. Not all of it, of course, because tonight was a Friday, and not all our classes meet on Saturday, just the morning ones. And Wakaba didn't take that long at the sushi, and just watched. She made me just watch. I offered to help, but she wouldn't have it. So she finishes the sushi, and we go up to the room and go inside. Biko Saito was there. Now that was normal enough by itself. Biko's Wakaba's roomie this year. Did I tell you that? Her idea, not Wakaba's. She was rooming with Eiko, but Eiko's a real slob and a pain to live with, too. Biko, that is, got assigned to Wakaba when I was moved out at the last minute when school started. But we open the door, and there she is, and Wakaba's like, "Oh, Biko. Hi. Didn't you go to theater club yet?" And Biko's like, "Well," and then she sees it's me, and she says, really weird like, "Truth is, I was just leaving now. Hi, Utena. Sorry about today. Tell Anchi I'm sorry too. Bye." Like that. And she almost runs out of the room. I guess I must have been staring after her, because Wakaba dragged me into the room going, "Are you coming in or not?" So I go in, and we split the sushi, and she makes me some tea to wash it down with. Green tea, not the black tea Anchi always serves. talk about traditionally Japanese, as unlike Anshi as you can get, I thought afterwards. Was that intentional? I'm wondering now. I don't know. I didn't ask. I didn't think of it then, even. Maybe I'm paranoid, is all. We split the sushi, and she puts on the TV and makes me watch a show called His Secret, Her Secret. High school comedy, animated. Girl meets boy, boy's a real freak, guy has deep dark secrets, it's love, that sort of thing. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Point is, the show's over and the credits roll, and it says, Director Hideaki Anno. And Wakaba's like, that's really weird, huh? And I'm like, what is? And she's like, Hideaki Anno directed stuff like Neon Genesis Evangelion, and now he's doing sweet stuff like His and Hers. Isn't that weird? I guess. I never watched Eva. Which was true. All I knew about it was that it was about giant robots and the ending sucked, and I only knew that last thing because the Three Stooges were bitching about it the next day. Oh, you have no idea! It was so cool! And there are people in it who are just like the people at school! I'm like, I know these people, she says. And I'm like, uh-huh. Like Asuka! She's one of the pilots. She is so like Nanami Kiryu, it's not even funny. I mean, she isn't white or anything like Asuka. Nanami, I mean. But the way she thinks she's all that, they're exactly the same. Oh, even better. Nei Ayanami. She's another pilot. Really creepy. It turns out she's a clone or something who was created to engineer the end of the world, but that doesn't matter. She never talks, and she looks really weird too. Freaks everyone out, especially Asuka. She is so like... Anshi, I asked. Yeah, exactly like her. You took the words right out of my mouth. She giggled. Hey, she suddenly said in a conspiratorial tone. You know the forest on campus that nobody's allowed in? I was thinking, what if there's a secret lab there where, like, they make clones of Anshi? Wouldn't that be... My chopsticks snapped in my hand. She took that as a hint. Oops. She covered her mouth, like she was trying to stuff the words back inside. I tried to restrain myself. I was thinking, I will not lose my temper. I will not slap Wakaba. I will not punch her lights out. I will not... I managed it. Couldn't unclench my fist, though. So I said, Wakaba, tell me something. What the hell is this? National Pick on Anshi Week? I'm sorry. That did it. You're sorry? You're sorry? That was me gone. I didn't have to slap her. The tone was enough to make her recoil. Sorry you opened your big mouth, you mean? No, you listen, and you listen good. God knows I'm used to seeing people make fun of Anshi. God knows I'm used to seeing them try to make her life miserable. I don't know why. But where the hell you, and you call yourself my friend, mind you, where you get off saying things like that to me about her to my face? They went easy on you. She said that through her hands, which she was using to hide her face. From slaps? From blows? What? You should hear them when you're not there. No, I don't. She came out from behind her shield. Biko told me not to tell you this, but I guess I'd better now. You know what Eiko said about a play about you and Anshi? She's for real. Really? Yes. Her voice was quavering a bit. I don't know about the Princess Moonlight thing, but Biko said Eiko was going to write one of those shadow plays for the school festival about, and I swear she said this, Utena's prince. This was a few days ago. She said she tried to talk Eiko out of it because she thought it was real mean, but you might as well talk to a brick wall than tell Eiko anything, she said, and apparently Eiko said, everybody else will laugh, so who cares? Did I ever tell you about Eiko's shadow plays? I don't think I did, so I will now. Apparently she's a real genius. She's been putting on plays with shadow puppets, writing them and directing them, since she was 8, or so I heard. Her mom used to be an actor, I think. Anyway, she's been in charge of the theater club here for 2 years. Apparently the school, including the principal, begged her to enroll. Every term or so she writes a play, actually more like sketches, about goings-on around the school and the city of Hull, and the club puts it on using her puppets. People love it. Matter of fact, the kids at the school paper hate it because she can say stuff they can't, and then people go, "I can't wait for Eiko to give us the real deal." She changes things around so the teachers won't catch on, of course, which is bad because she makes fun of them, but also students, and sometimes she's really nasty about it, too. When people make fools of themselves around here, they've just got to hope and pray Eiko doesn't get wind of it, because you might end up in the next performance. I know Eiko doesn't care if she hurts people's feelings. Everyone does. She even boasts about it. Probably thinks it's her duty to express herself or something, though I sometimes think she just likes making fun of people who aren't artists or smart like her. Outside her little theater club clique, nobody really likes her, even though they love the plays, because it's an excuse to twist the knife in public. They're kind of afraid of her, really. I'm so glad Miki's not like that. He's smart, but he's really nice. Man, I wrote a lot about that, didn't I? Point is, I was not looking forward to Eiko's next play. Oh yeah? Well, she won't be laughing when I... And suddenly it was Wakaba yelling at me. Don't you get it at all? People laugh at you and Anchi behind your back. Oh, I know. You got used to your adoring fans saying you were cool, right? Well, they don't think so anymore. Now you just freak them out, so they make fun of you. And they laugh at me because I hang out with you, even though I practically had to drag you away from Anchi to get you to come here. But you don't care about that at all as long as Anchi's happy, right? Are we talking about the same girls who all but demand to be the mother of my children whenever I pass by? Call me naive if you want, but... Especially them! And the thing is, you actually buy it, waving and going... And Wakaba put on a really deep voice here. It was all I could do not to laugh in spite of myself.
Well, hello there, my dears. Like a complete dork. You really think they mean it?
No, that's not true. They used to mean it anyway. They don't anymore. Now, the moment you're out of earshot, they laugh their heads off because you're such a freak. Are you so dumb you can't figure that out? Now, look, Wakaba, aren't you exaggerating? No, you look! You think people make fun of Anchi just because she's there? They do it for a reason. My cue to go back on the offensive. Oh, right, I see. I guess you think that makes it all right then, huh? Is that it? No, no. Look, I'm sorry about what I said. Really, that was real uncalled for. But that's not the point. And what is the point? The point is that people pick on Anchi and make fun of her because she really scares them. You don't think she's scary? No, I don't think she's scary, Wakaba, I said, as precisely as I could. I happen to think she's a very nice and very sweet girl. She's a little shy, that's all. She acts a little weird, sure, but that's because she doesn't have any friends. I'm trying to help her make friends and stuff, and I admit it'll take a lot of work, but... No, she has no friends because she's... No, she's not weird. I'm a girl and I watch Eva. I'm weird.
You're weird, a good kind of weird. Or you used to be.
She's scary. I mean, have you ever seen the way she looks at people? No, even though I've lived with her all term. What the hell is that supposed to mean? Okay, she zones out now and again, or seems to, but... No, Utana, she does not zone out. She looks at you, really, really detached, like you were one of her flowers or a bug or something. Utana, haven't you ever noticed how she talks to people? It's like she's a princess and you're a servant. No, that's not it. Like to a kid. Yeah, like to a child or an animal or something like that. Like she was some sort of superior being. She talks to you like you were that darn monkey of hers. Is she even allowed to have that thing as a pet? And you don't even seem to notice. Oh yeah, tell me, is it true she keeps a mongoose in her desk drawer like I heard? Yeah, I told her not to, but she wouldn't listen. She does whatever the heck she wants. It's true, I don't know what she's thinking sometimes. Your point? I mean, where the heck does it go to the bathroom? Ha ha, you think that's funny too? No, I think that's creepy. And really cruel too. Nice, She's not nice at all. You know what, Utena? I think she's just using you to defend her from Nanami and Sayonji and them, like a hired thug or guard dog or something. I don't think she cares about you at all. You told me yourself she called Chuchu her friend. I'm thinking, what does that mean? That to her, Utena's no better than Chuchu, for God's sake? Yes, I had just about had it. Probably because it made too much sense. I stood up and had a good long stretch, as dramatically as possible. Bullshit, I said. I don't need this. I'm leaving. Wakaba, get help. See you at class tomorrow or not. Thanks for the food. And I started for the door. Only I never got there, at least not then, because Wakaba jumped up, somehow got around me, and actually threw herself in front of the door. I guess all that practice jumping on me paid off. No, she said. There were tears in her eyes. You're not going back to her. I don't know what she's doing to you, but I'm not letting you go back there. Wakaba, she's not doing anything to me. Now stop being a baby and let me out. You can't keep me here all night, you know. Look, I had to ask. Are you jealous of her or something? Is that it? Because Sayonji likes her instead of you, and now I'm her friend, huh? No. Yes. No. I don't know. Utena, I'm worried sick about you. Do you know that? You're like... Then the deep voice again. I, Prince Utena, will save Princess Anshi. I don't see as you're changing her at all. I think she's changing you, and it's freaking me out. How have I changed that freaks you out? I mean... We used to be together all the time, Utena. She didn't seem angry anymore, just sad. You, me, our friends, we did everything together. Now it's Anshi, Anshi, Anshi all the time. I had to practically drag you up here by your hair. It's always Anshi and those jerks on the student council who are always hanging around her. Sayonji, Tolga Kiryu, Miki and all those. What's so great about them anyway? I mean, I know Tolga Kiryu ticks you off. What, now you don't like Miki either? No, he's nice. Yeah, you're right, he's nice. But it's like you're different, Utena. You scared me today. You never used to talk to me like this. Anyone says a word about Anshi, and you freak like they insulted your mother, or your religion, or... Wait, I've got it. Utena, has Anshi got you mixed up in some sort of cult? A cult. The cult of the Rose Goddess. I admit I'd never thought of the duels that way. Everything about it was like out of a myth. Humans battling for and praying for the favors of supernatural beings, like all that mythology we'd been reading. The power of Dios slept in Anshi. Did that make her a priestess of some sort, or a... I just laughed. A cult? Wakaba, now you really are being paranoid. Let me out. She folded her arms to her chest in front of the door, stuck her nose in the air. Changes in behavior, adoption of a radically different set of friends, sure signs of a victim of a cult, or drug abuse. Mom said so. She saw it on TV, and she warned me when I came here not to get involved in cults, and no way am I going to let you. For just a moment, she was Wakaba again. Oh, right. Can you imagine me or Sayonji or Miki shaving our heads and standing on Ookawa Avenue chanting and handing out pamphlets saying, Anshi saves, to passersby? She got angry again. I'm serious. Let me through, Wakaba. Don't you see? Your whole life seems to revolve around her, like you're obsessed or something. And the more obsessed you get, the meaner you get. It's like you never used to slap people like that. Why do you think Biko ran out of the room? She was frightened, damn it. Don't swear, Wakaba. It doesn't suit you. It's like it's not you anymore. It's like you're a whole different person, or there's a different mind in your body, like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. You know what? If it turned out that Anshi really was from the moon and she was controlling your mind and using you to prepare to invade the Earth, I'd just say I saw it coming long ago. It is to laugh. Get out of my way, Wakaba, I said, with a coldness that once I heard it in my ears, scared even me. But I didn't let it bother me, or something in me didn't want to be bothered. I moved towards her, but she just kept going. Maybe she was afraid if she stopped, she'd never get another chance to say everything. Mind you, I could have just pushed her out of the way. She's much lighter than I am. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. Maybe because deep down I knew she had a point? Maybe. Thing is, it's not just you. It's everybody in that clique she hangs around, or hangs around her, more like. Lately, you've been getting that look in your eyes that Sionji has, or even Miki. Yeah, I know, he's really nice, but when he challenged you to that duel the other day, I knew it was about Anshi somehow, because he had that look in his eyes that Sionji had. That wasn't so much paranoid as naive, or so I thought. So naive, I couldn't stay too mad. Just as well, really. I took a deep breath, and I said something like this. Look, Wakaba, some things you need to know. Guess I should have told you before. First, I wish it weren't so, but the fact is, if anything, Anshi's fixated on me. I told her as much of the truth as I thought was relevant, and I thought she'd believe. She was dating Sionji, and he was treating her like crap, you remember, right? So when I went and read him the riot act about pinning your letter up on the bulletin board, she nodded. It turned out he wouldn't give me the time of day unless I challenged him to a duel. I won somehow, and I guess she was so impressed that she got the courage to dump him. Thing is, now she seems to think it's her duty to be some sort of servant to me or something. Or she says it is. You've heard how she calls me Miss Utena, right? Wakaba nodded again. She was a little calmer now. A very little. So I went on. I don't know how she did it, but she even managed to talk the school into changing our dorm assignments so we'd be living together. She seems to know Tolga pretty well. Maybe he put a word in their ear. Or had Judy Arisengawa scare them a little. I chuckled. Wakaba didn't. So it wasn't funny, fine, but I had to try. I'm as nice about it as I can be, but I guess you're right. It does freak me out a little, too. I'm always telling her not to call me Miss, but she does anyway. You have no idea how I've gotten on her case about that or trying to make friends. She won't go out or talk to people unless I tell her it's okay. I really do think it's an act she puts on because she does all this stuff even when I tell her not to. I don't know why she does all that, and she's not telling. I don't know. Maybe she is screwed up somehow. I'm trying to get her to be normal, but it's going to take a lot of work. Does that make any sense? Wakaba stood up. What about Miki? Miki has a crush on Anshi. That's all. She reminds him of his sister or something, or so he says. He picked a fight with me to impress Anshi. It didn't work. End of story. A crush, huh? And she started to giggle, a really weird sort of giggle, which he was clearly trying to stifle and not succeeding. I felt myself getting angry again. What's so funny now? You reminded me of something, Utena. Thanks. Can't believe I didn't see it sooner. She was still giggling, but she wouldn't look me in the eye. Really? Yeah, really. Now she looked up, a weird grin on her face. I'd totally forgotten. I was saying a minute ago that you had a look in your eyes like Miki, and you said that Miki had a crush, and it just sort of clicked. What clicked? Oh, nothing. Just that the girls are saying all the time that you and Anshi were... She stopped suddenly. The grin vanished. No, wait. That's not true. I know that's not true. Oh, I'm so sorry, Utena. That was really uncalled for. I shouldn't listen, should I? Just that frightened me. But I asked anyway. Anshi and I are what?
Like Judy Arisengawa.
What?
Like Judy Arisengawa.
Spit it out! Like Judy Arisengawa, darn it! Like Judy Arisengawa? How am I like Judy Arisengawa? I've heard a lot about her, and I don't know what you mean. I can't stare down a teacher. I wish I could. I wouldn't mind being able to fence as well as she does. So how am I like Judy Arisingawa? Yeah, I was playing dumb. Do you blame me? I mean, I told you the other rumors about Judy. But like I said, I never believed them myself until that time we met in the courtyard that night we dueled, and she looked at me like that, just for a second, but long enough for it to make sense. Besides, even though there wasn't much chance Wakaba meant anything else, where there's life, there's hope. Wakaba wasn't buying it, though. She went back on the offensive. Duh! You mean you don't know? Everyone's heard about how she doesn't like boys, and how she was friends with this girl who started dating a boy in the fencing team before we started here, and she was so jealous she terrorized them into leaving the school. There's this girl I know on the team who said she still obsesses over that girl and, like, keeps her picture in a locket, which she wears over her heart or something. And then she said, and I swear I'm not kidding, "Hey, Wakaba, that sounds like your friend Utena. Maybe you should keep away from her." And I'm like, why? And she's like, "Well, Wakaba, let's say the handsome prince has finally found her princess, and you know three's a crowd." And I'm like, "Huh?" And she's like, "Do I have to spell it out? Utena and Anchi are..." What girl you know on the team? Did she say the name of the girl Judy was obsessing about? Wakaba went from angry to upset. Really quickly, too. No. You don't believe me, do you? Wakaba, let me tell you something. They say Judy Arisingawa is a dyke because she's good at sports and because she doesn't date, and the guys get angry about that because they can't imagine why. They think it's her, when the fact is they're morons. I wouldn't give them the time of day either. Maybe she just hasn't met Mr. Right yet. That never occurred to you? I could say that convincingly, or in what sounded to me like a convincing voice, because it was what I used to tell myself. Heck, I've had guys call me a lesbian to my face for the same reason. You were there a couple of times even, and you got upset, and I kicked their butts, and we all lived happily ever after. Don't you remember? Wakaba hung her head again. That was different. That was just the guys trying to be funny. I know that now. This time it's the girls, and they mean it. I know it's not true, but they say it over and over, and after a while you start believing it yourself. Wakaba. Now I was scolding her, like my mom used to scold me. I wasn't as angry as I should have been, I suppose. Maybe I was just running out of energy for it. Do you really believe that? You'd believe them before you believe me? No, I don't know. Utena, I've been trying to defend you when you weren't around, telling them no, she's still Utena, but... And how is this different from me defending Anchi, I'd like to know? Because I wasn't slapping them, or picking fights, or... That's just mean. I mean, Anchi acts strange, but you weren't like that, I thought, and I said so, but all you seemed to do was hang around Anchi all the time and start getting weird like her, and I started worrying myself sick over you, and you didn't seem to notice or even care. Maybe you don't care, but I do. But what do I know? I'm only your best friend. She couldn't say anymore. Just then she started to cry. Not the silly, "Oh no, I failed the test, my life is over," crying. But real tears. When that happens, and it isn't often, you know she means it. I thought my heart would break right there. I went over to the TV and switched it off. I knelt down by her. "You really worry about me?" Really softly now. "Mm-hmm." "Why?" "I don't know. Just a bad feeling, I guess. Like something's wrong." I sat beside her and held her hand. She leaned on me a little. "Look, I know. I've been spending a lot of time with Anchi lately, but I kind of have to live with her, you know?" "I guess." "Have I been neglecting you lately, Princess Onion?" She giggled. Couldn't hurt, I thought, to get her to laugh a little. "Yeah, just a bit."
Look, I got a little carried away today. Yeah, I guess everybody did. When does Biko come back from theater club, usually? Before curfew, like 9:30. Curfew's 10:30. We all have to be in our rooms and quiet by then. There's nobody but me and Anshi at East Dorm, so we can go whenever. But in Wakaba's dorm, they make it stick. You want I should stay here till she comes back and say I'm sorry? I guess I was a real bitch today. Sure, I'd like that. We were quiet for a moment. Wakaba had her eyes closed, smiling peacefully. Me, I was thinking about everything. About mythology, cults, and madness. About Judy, too. Something else was bothering me. Wakaba? Hmm? Since when are you into giant robots? She perked up. Didn't I tell you? My dad designs them for a living. He's really smart. His firm even gets government contracts, all very hush-hush. He's actually thinking of leaving and starting his own firm just to design and make robots. He says he's planning to design a robot for police patrols, like a cross between a robot and a police car. And Mom says that's science fiction. But then he'll say stuff like, then she puts on this expression and this voice, impersonating her dad, I suppose. Such things are science fiction today, but in 10 years, maybe not. He's so cool. My little brother says he wants to drive one when he grows up. Isn't that sweet? So we're all into robots in our family, really, except for Mom. She thinks we're crazy. But I've kind of grown up around robots and drawings of robots, and I just love them. You could almost see little love hearts in her eyes. It was unreal. Normally, she only got this mega happy over me. So I'm like, we were roomies all last year. I never saw you watch Evangelion. I had the Three Stooges record it for me, and I watched it later. I figured you wouldn't like it. Besides, Mom always said a girl's got to have her secrets, right? Say, you want to see some pictures of the stuff he's designed? It's really cool. Under the circumstances, I think I had a good reason for tuning her out for the next 3 hours. It's really stuffy in here. Hot, too. I really wish we had air conditioning. I'm going to move outside and get some air. The balcony has an electric light, so I can get enough light to see, and there's a table to write on. Need some more tea, too. 3 o'clock. Actually, nearer 3:13. I'm not looking forward to tomorrow morning, let me tell you. Well, I started. I may as well finish. It just occurred to me that I hadn't even started telling you what I wanted to tell you about what Anshi did tonight. You must be getting really bored. Don't worry, I'll get there. I'd better, or I know I won't sleep at all, much less be able to face Anshi in the morning. Have to keep going. Try to go on. So I hang around, and we watch some more TV, and Wakaba bores me silly with pictures of robots and exoskeletons and God knows what else. Till Biko comes home around 9:30. So I tell her I'm sorry, which I was, and she says it's okay, which I could tell from her face that it wasn't really, but I don't think she was scared of me so much anymore, so that was something anyway. So then I try to leave, but Wakaba won't let me because there's some other robot that I've just got to see, and I don't manage to escape until 10 o'clock when visiting hours end and the dorm lady comes upstairs to throw me out. I've never been that glad to see a dorm lady in my life. I guess Biko had had to listen to Wakaba's spiel about her dad before, because when she saw the pictures, she just kind of rolled her eyes and had a, oh God, not again, look on her face. Girls got to have her secrets, my butt. Still, it did seem like Wakaba was even bouncier and full of sugar afterwards than usual. It wasn't like she just went back into Wakaba mode after what happened earlier. Nobody's that shallow. Maybe she thought she had to make up for the fight? I don't know. So I thank Wakaba for the food and promise to have lunch with her tomorrow, just the two of us, without Anshi. Yes, she made me promise that, and I get out of there. Did I mention how muggy it was today? It should have thundered and rained, really. It didn't, though, which sucked, because then maybe the humidity would have gone down a bit. It was so hot, even in the morning, that I didn't bother wearing a shirt underneath my jacket, just my black tank top. Of course, that just meant I had to keep it really tightly buttoned all day, because if the teachers don't like my uniform, God knows what they'd do if they saw I had nothing on underneath, so I was just as hot as I would have been, probably more. After school, though, nobody really cared. Here's the odd thing, though. Of course, it wasn't as hot by 10 o'clock as it had been just after school when I was going to Wakaba's, but it was only after I'd left that I felt comfortable taking my jacket off. I tied it around my waist so I wouldn't have to carry it. At Wakaba's, I left it on the whole time. Not that there was any point in taking it off, I guess. Like I said, all I had underneath was the tank top, and with the air conditioning going, I probably would have been freezing. But that wasn't why I didn't take it off. It may sound crazy to you, but the idea of taking it off in Wakaba's room made me really uncomfortable for some reason. It sounds crazy to me, too. I mean, it's not like I never changed in the locker room right in front of her, right? So I take the jacket off and I walk along. I didn't see anyone on the way back, which suited me just fine, because I wasn't sure what I'd do if I ran into Toga, or even worse, Miki. I'd probably have given him a heart attack. At least he'd have died happy, right? God, I'm disgusting. I was thinking about that and laughing to myself about it a bit, I guess, and I pass by the courtyard, and suddenly I start thinking, oh God, what if I ran into Judy again? And I suddenly wasn't laughing anymore. I started thinking about what Wakaba had said again. It scared me a little. No. Make that a lot. I'm not really like Judy, am I? I thought. Or Sionji. Dear God, please tell me I'm not an obsessive maniac like Sionji. That Anshi is really just an ordinary girl, and not some sort of higher being, and Sionji's crazy because he's just like that, and not because of her. That I'm not going crazy, and Anshi and me aren't like Judy, and I just haven't figured it out yet. Suddenly the courtyard seemed even more like an oven than it already was. I had to get home. I picked up the pace, and I started saying to myself, from the courtyard all the way to the gate of the East Dorm, it's not true. 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 Like a chant. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's not. But right in front of the gate, I stopped, because when I looked up to the balcony, I swear I saw the Rose Goddess out on the second floor balcony, dressed as Eve. Or Aphrodite, or Venus, depending on where you have your favorite Mediterranean villa, Your Highness, and enjoying the summer evening. Yeah, I know. That sounded really corny, huh? But she hadn't put her glasses on, or her hair up, or anything, so of course I knew it had to be Anshi, but it didn't look or feel like the Anshi I knew at all. And no, Your Highness, I would follow you into hell, but I am not going to tell you what she looked like naked. I've told you what she looks like with clothes on. You'll just have to use your imagination. Yeah, you probably wouldn't be that far off from the truth anyway. It's funny. I've been addressing my diary entries to my prince since I can't remember. Since I started it, I think. And it's only very recently that it hit me that princes are actually men and stuff. I never really thought that when the princess marries the prince and they end up with 14 children, they had to come from somewhere. Do princes go saving princesses because they just don't like the dating scene? I don't know. I do know that a lot of princesses get kidnapped by dragons and they get their dresses torn and stuff. Your Highness, no way are you going to tell me you don't know what a naked chick looks like by now. Besides, if I did tell you, it wouldn't help you see what was wrong in any case. It wasn't the fact that she was nude that really affected me. I mean, I'd seen that before. During the curry incident, it wasn't like I wasn't going to take a bath, and I don't think Anshi would have appreciated it if I hadn't. I could have handled it if it was just that, or if I'd just seen a photo of her, say, but it wasn't. She was looking out at the courtyard. I don't think she'd seen me yet, or if she had, she didn't let on. With this expression on her face, really regal, like the face of one of those Roman statues of gods I'd seen in my textbook. A really faraway look in her eyes. But it wasn't just that. There was the sense of raw power I was getting from her that I'd never felt before, like she was higher than me, Of course she actually was. I was on the ground, and she was on the second floor. But like a really higher being, and not a person like me. I was looking at her, and I couldn't pull myself away. I felt, I don't know, like I should be praying, or I should throw myself at her feet, or... I managed to shake myself, and for just a second I was able to look at her again, and just see plain old Anshi standing on the balcony. And it was just long enough for me to be able to say to myself, oh crap, what's she doing now? What if some guy sees her? Or even a teacher? So I go in the gate and go in and go up the stairs, bitching myself out for letting myself get all worked up like that. And I go into the living room upstairs, which the balcony is attached to, but I can't see her at first because there are ornamental curtains over the door. So I open the door and I'm going, Anshi, what the hell do you think you're... I stopped dead. She was beautiful. I don't mean she was beautiful in a supermodel kind of way, like Judy. I couldn't see too much of her figure now, anyway. The way I came in, her back was towards me. Like she hadn't noticed me open the door, though she must have, what with me yelling like that. She was terrifying, like a thunderstorm. Oh man, I wish it would rain. Or a star. Or something like that. I know it sounds corny. I wish I could describe it better myself, but that's what she seemed like to me. What I'd felt downstairs, the power she radiated, at this close range, seemed amplified by a factor of 10. I was frozen in my tracks. I was so terrified, I literally could not move. I think I know what a deer feels like when it's caught in the headlights. I was never this afraid to just go near anyone, never mind her. My imagination was really working in overdrive now. I was thinking of something crazy I'd heard in the unit on mythology. Something about the Ark of the Covenant being so holy that anyone who touched it would die. Chew? Choo-choo was there on the table, eating a cracker. Anshi wasn't looking at me, at least not yet, but Choo-choo did. And he gives me this look like, so are you saying something, or are you just going to stare all night? Like he was doing the looking for her, like they had a telepathic link or something, or he had cameras inside his eyes that were beaming me right to Anshi. You know, Anshi says she understands him when he talks. She's tuned into him way too much. Maybe he's the space alien, and Anshi's the human host. Aren't you cold? I said at last. Said. More like croaked. My throat was as dry as a bone. It didn't help that I was sweating so much. Anshi still didn't look at me. I couldn't see her lips move. It is very warm tonight, Miss Utena. I tried again. I thought you were going out. I did. I returned. Yeah, I can see that. What I set out to do, I had to return here to finish. I wasn't thinking straight enough to figure out what that meant. You mind telling me why you've got no clothes on? As normally as I could. When I returned, I decided to take a bath before I went to bed. It was very humid today. You must have noticed, Miss Utena. I cleared my head long enough to notice that her hair was a little wet. But maybe that was just perspiration. Aren't you afraid people'll see you or anything? This is a rather isolated part of campus, Miss Utena, especially at this hour. Everybody has gone home. You are the only person who has passed by here since I returned. It never occurred to me that it would disturb anybody. Well, it's disturbing me! I wanted to scold her, and it was supposed to be a yell. But it didn't come out like that. It sounded more like a screech in my ears. Oh? She replied, and then she turned her head toward me at last. Deep green eyes, like I imagined the Mediterranean or the Aegean. There I go again. I studied for that test too hard for my own good. Oh, help me. The reason I thought of that was... It wasn't quite what Wakaba said. It didn't seem unconcerned or anything, but it seemed so detached, like I'd been Choo-Choo or someone freaking out about her being naked. That's not all, though. There was a, I don't know, timeless look in her eyes. Like she'd seen this before. She'd seen it all before. Like she might have seen the beginning of the world with those eyes. I guess she figured she really had freaked me out, because she turned and went over to the table and got her bathrobe. It was draped over one of the chairs. It was funny how I hadn't noticed it before. And she puts it on and goes right back to the railing like nothing had happened. Choo-choo went back to his cracker. Come. She suddenly said just that one word. Really gently, but firmly, like she really would call Choo-choo. And I could move again. No, that's not right. More like I just moved, whether I wanted to or not, over to the railing right beside Anshi on her left, like she was controlling my body. Well, that probably wasn't it. Maybe I was just too scared stiff to do anything else. We stood there for a few minutes in silence, just watching the night. Miss Utena? Yeah? I sometimes think I disturb you a great deal. Am I a bother? I didn't look at her yet. I didn't think I could handle it. I just wished I'd had the nerve or the ability to run away screaming like I wanted to do. No, Anshi, it's just, you gotta stop doing things like, look, you just don't walk out in public butt naked like that. Miss Utena, does it please you that I am here? I didn't understand for a second. Please me? Why wouldn't it please me? I mean, we're friends and stuff, right? Just because I shouted right now doesn't mean... Then I made the mistake of standing up straight and turning towards her and looking straight at her again. And then I understood. It was really naive of me, I guess. The Rose Bride is supposed to do anything her master wants her to do, and after Sionji cornered me in the supply room during the curry thing, I should have known that before I showed up, he and Anshi did more than exchange diaries. She stood up straight, too, and then she looked at me again with those eyes. Now she looked like she was expecting something. In spite of everything, I thought I was blushing. I thought, oh God, this can't be how Judy feels when she... Miss Utena, she said, in this faraway tone I'd never heard before. I am your bride. She moved her hand up towards my bare arm, very, very slowly. And somehow I knew that if she actually managed to touch me, that'd be the end for me. Your Highness, why do princes save princesses? Is it so they can ravish them instead of the dragons? Those eyes. There was nothing I wanted more in the world at that moment than to drown in those sea-green eyes. I'd have done anything. Slit my own throat, sacrificed my firstborn son, torn out Wakaba's heart from her chest at sunrise. She smelled like roses. Do you know what that means? I did. No! I must have stumbled back and tripped over one of the chairs, because the next thing I knew, I was at the other end of the balcony, gripping onto the railing for dear life, gasping for air like I was drowning, and my heart was pounding like it was going to explode. I felt sick. I tried to open my eyes. She'd let her hand fall, and now she had a blank look on her face, like she didn't know what I'd do next. I screwed my eyes shut. I was shaking like a leaf. I waited for what seemed like a year for my heart to stop pounding. It didn't. I'm sorry, Miss Utena. I screamed, don't come near me! Don't touch me! Miss Utena? I thought I'd regret it, but I tried opening my eyes again. I said, don't... Huh? She had put on her glasses. Where'd she get them? Were they on the table? And that childlike smile of hers. And she was Anshi again. She was offering a hand to help me up. Choo-choo had jumped off of the table, and he was looking at me all concerned-like. Choo? Are you all right, Miss Utena? I was living in fear of a heart attack. I felt like I was drowning. My nerves were shot to hell. I thought I was going to throw up Wakaba's sushi. And someone... something that might or might not have been my roommate, Anshi Himemiya, had almost succeeded in seducing me. All things considered, I was pretty damn far from all right. So I said, "Yeah, I think. Or I will be in a minute." I took the hand. I didn't die, so I figured that was a good sign. Besides, I needed the help getting up. My legs were like jelly. She wasn't the least bit terrifying looking anymore. I don't think I'd ever been more glad to see that smile. "Is there something I can do?" she asked. It was like she had no idea what was wrong. "Do you want some tea?" And I'm like, "No, no, just let me get my breath back. I'll be fine soon." And I grab a chair and sit down and slump all over the table like I'd run 1,000 miles. "If you say so, Miss Utena." Anshi picked up my jacket, I guess it slipped off when I fell, and put it on my shoulders. "Some air will do you good," she said, in a really motherly tone. For some reason, I felt a lot colder all of a sudden, though it wasn't any cooler than earlier, really, so I actually was kind of glad to have the jacket back on. "Anshi?" "Yes?" "What happened just now?" She didn't answer. She looked like she wanted to say, but like maybe she was afraid to. "On second thought, don't answer that. I don't think I want to know." "If you say so, Ms. Utena." And she just stood looking at me for a moment. "Anshi?" "Yes?" What did I say just then? "Look, I don't know what you did with Sionji. Fact of the matter is, I don't much care. But Anshi, I'm not Sionji. I don't want to be like Sionji. I'm afraid of being like him. At all. Anshi, I care about you. Really, I do. Matter of fact, I think I care about you too much. But, I mean, what sort of prince rescues princesses just to ravish them? If he does that, what's the point of rescuing them at all?" Yeah, I actually said that. I guess Anshi thought it sounded kind of dumb too, because she just looked at me, kind of puzzled-like. "Point is, whatever you did just now, please, for the love of God, don't ever do that again." "Forgive me, Miss Utena." She did look a little ashamed. "I'll be more modest in the future." She took her glasses off again. "If it's all right, Miss Utena, I'll be going to bed now. Or did you want me to stay?" "No, no, it's okay. Go to bed. I'll be there soon." For all the good it did. "All right." She smiled again, and she beckoned towards Chuchu, who'd hopped back on the table and was munching on another cracker. "Chuchu, time for bed." I suddenly remembered. "You never told me." "What?" "Anshi, where do you come from?" Again, she seemed lost for words, like before. Her face fell. "If you feel uncomfortable, don't answer." I had to laugh. "Just don't say you're the moon princess. I don't think I could handle it." She and I are very much alike. My heart had still been pounding like it would burst. Now it just plain stopped. I don't know which felt worse. I shot up in my chair. "That's what I used to think to myself," Anshi went on. She wasn't looking at me anymore. She was looking at the moon through the clouds, looking really sad for some reason. I immediately regretted sitting up so fast because I felt so woozy as a result that I couldn't help but slump back down again. "Kaguya-hime was courted by all the fair princes of the land, whether she would be courted or no, who thought her the fairest when she was not but the most unworthy of her tribe, cast out to do her penance on earth. They resorted to all sorts of tricks, fair and foul, to win her hand, but in the end, none could truly win her heart." She suddenly looked at me and smiled. "I don't think that anymore. That was very silly of me, wasn't it? Comparing myself to somebody out of a fairy tale. Don't you think, Miss Utena?" I didn't quite know how to respond to that. Was she criticizing me, do you think? "I'd better go to bed." She clapped her hands. Come on, Choo-Choo. She headed for the door. Good night, Mizutana. Don't stay up too late.
I won't, Mom.
And she disappears through the door. But Choo-Choo didn't follow her, not just yet. He waited to finish his cracker. And then, I swear, he looked me in the eye and gave me a thumbs up.
Choo!
Choo-choo, bed! Called Anchi, a little crossly, too. And he hops down and follows her inside. And I'm thinking, was that some sort of test? 4 o'clock. I'd better go to bed now. Now I think I'll actually sleep. If it was a test, and Choo-choo did that, I guess I passed. But a test of what? Of whether she could trust me not to use her like Sionji did? Of whether I really was the pure and noble prince I'd like to be? Heck, the one that'll lead the revolution, whatever that is? I don't know. Do you suppose I'll ever know? Your Highness, do you know? Will you tell me when we meet again? I am, sir, your obedient servant, Utena Tenjo.